I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
She found out that, like, Superman's actually pro. She's the one who came up to me and was like, let's go and watch this movie now.
You guys, shout out to 13 Sons. Oh,
yes.
Wait, there you go.
Yeah, if you have to do it next to your head so it's in focus.
My hand's not big enough.
Is it not? No. It doesn't autofocus. Like, you got to, like, it's a manual focus. So you got to just keep it here. There you go. Yeah, that'll be in focus. I could probably zoom into that.
Okay.
Yes, it's whatever. Okay.
I got a strawberry vanilla matcha.
And I got a cappuccino, I think. And it was really good. So shout out to 13 Sons. Delicious. They didn't pay us for this, but like we said last time, we support our Habesha businesses, okay?
Yeah. Another Habesha business.
Not saying that we'll never take money from other Habesha businesses if they're willing to, you know, sponsor and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, you know, help a brother out. Help a brother and a sister out, okay? And welcome back to the Cousin
Connection
Podcast. So, no. Go ahead. You go.
Yeah. I forgot to write this down in our list of topics. But I have to tell you.
What?
So last week, I went to Ridgeway Plaza for the first time.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen all of the TikToks. I've seen, you know, the hype about it. I just didn't understand. As a Scarborough girly through and through, I just was like, you know, Mississauga just wants to be Scarborough so bad. Like, they just want to be like us.
And we had the first Ridgeway Plaza, okay? Warden Eglinton, everyone knows.
But you know what? Now it's
or
like,
it might be Warden Lawrence.
Yeah, and it's like a whole street now. Yeah, it's like every single, like the whole street is like that.
Anything you want, you'll find on Warden Lawrence.
No, literally though.
Yeah.
And so I finally made my way to Ridgeway last week for the first time. I went Sunday, like during the day, so it wasn't as busy as like all the TikToks that you see, because it was, first of all, it was really hot, and apparently Ridgeway comes alive at nighttime.
That's what I've heard too, because we didn't find out until later that we've actually been to Ridgeway in the past, and we just didn't know, because it seems so, like, and also it does make sense, because this is, I think, Ridgeway kind of like gained its popularity in like the last year.
Yes.
And this is like 2 or 3 years ago that we last went. Or maybe 2 years ago, something like that.
That time we went on the hike, right?
It was definitely 2 years ago, because this was like before even like Hassan left.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, whatever. For the second time. I was for the second time.
No, but that wasn't Ridgeway Plaza. It was Ridgeway Plaza, but it wasn't Ridgeway Plaza. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was with my two friends, and one of them who has gone more, she's like, I have to show you guys around. We went to the infamous Jabal Yemeni coffee shop. It was mid.
Really?
I also paid like $13 for an iced coffee, and I felt disrespected.
$13?
Yes, because I asked for lactose-free milk. Yeah.
Wait, what? For lactose-free milk, they charged you extra?
Yes, which is why I like 13 cents, because it's all vegan. And I got to have, I don't know what kind of milk is in this, but it's not dairy.
Oat milk is the default that you should go for.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But like $13?
No, they were definitely like putting up those prices just because they knew, like, you know, it's Ramadan.
Ramadan anymore.
Sorry, like they set those initially because they're like, you know, people are going to be coming anyways. And they just kept them there because people got used to them.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the allure, the appeal of Ridgeway is that you can literally find everything in one plaza. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I didn't realize how big it was. It's huge. Like, to get from one side to the other, you could walk, but like you could also drive. Like, that's how big it is. Yeah,
because mainly just parking in the middle, no?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I actually got this hijab from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Modal. It was 17.
The famous Modal. What's the special about Modal?
It's just light and airy for summer, you know?
We'll have to make a trip down there too.
No, literally, like, can we go next week? Okay. So I went, and I get it. I get the hype.
Yeah.
I also tried this place called GC Burger. Have you heard of that?
I've heard. It sounds familiar.
And honestly, okay, Nabat was with me, and she got the same burger as me. I don't know if it was like, if it was just me, but that was one of the best burgers I've ever had. The whole time I was eating it and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And she's looking at me like, this is the most basic ass burger. And I said, no, it's so good.
Wait. Was it like with those flat burgers? Smash burger?
It was a smash burger.
I feel like smash burgers are like cheat codes though, because like the fact that it's thinner, I don't know why they can like, it adds more crispiness to it. And also I feel like there's more sodium or more salt on it. It just makes it. I don't know. It's not juicy, but it's like flavorful.
So I got a double smash. Mm-hmm. And the bread, they like toasted it. Mm-hmm. And like, I think they put butter on it too. Yeah. So it was like crispy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Amir, it was so...
Better than Burgers Park? Exactly.
Wait. I was thinking about it. Yeah. No, I don't know. Burgers Park has perfected it. And like Ugly Delicious is even better than that.
Yeah. Shout out to Ugly Delicious. Shout out to Ugly Delicious. Like, I've only been there
once, one time.
Yeah, once, but I still, like, every time I'm like, I want to go there.
Me too.
But I just forget. Or, you just don't. It's in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Right? For us, it's a little bit closer now.
Yeah.
So, because we finally got bikes. I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we finally got bikes. So, you know, it doesn't seem as daunting, or it doesn't seem as, like, hard to just
get there.
But before we had bikes, like having to get onto the train and go, it wasn't really a thing. Yeah,
I know. But but yeah, so.
So GC Burger might be. We're going to have to check it out. We're not that far. Like, we're far, but like, we're definitely closer than here.
Yeah. Like, right? It was a drive, I'll admit. And then after we had burgers, we like looked at like perfume shops. Mm-hmm. And it just brought me back to like being in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And then we ended off the night at another popular spot called like Kunafani, which is like a kanafe spot.
Yeah. In the same plaza.
Yes. Amir, it puts kanafas to shame.
Really?
It was so good.
Like, that would be sacrilegious in this part of the woods. Okay.
It was so like, but the only qualm I had about it.
Yeah.
Was that there was no AC. In that store.
They just want you to get in and out. That's what it is.
No, we sat there and we ate and we enjoyed.
Really?
But it was so good. It wasn't too sweet. Mm-hmm. And it was like the perfect amount of crispiness. The cheese pull was amazing. Like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I still can't get into kanafas, but I feel you.
No. I feel like you would like this.
The combination.
We also had like Yemeni fries. They were called like Adeni fries from...
I'd probably have those.
Wait,
did you guys make this like a whole day trip?
It was a whole day trip. Like, we had to make the most of it. We came from Scarborough.
Yeah. Wait, so you guys went there specifically just to go and see Ridgeway Plaza?
Yeah, like, I just wanted to get the full experience.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do, like, let's do what people do here. So, like, we went to Waj, which is a popular, like, perfume store. We went to Jabal. We had all the poppin' spots, you know? And so I was like, wow, you know what? I kind of get it. Little did I know a week later I was going to find myself there again.
Really?
Yeah, I was literally there yesterday.
That's a weird thing. Like, sometimes you go to a place for the first time ever, and then somehow after that moment, you just find yourself a lot more than normal.
Yes,
it's weird.
I went there again. And I actually ended up going to a coffee shop called Matari, which is the one that we went to with Steve and Hassan.
Oh, yeah. Because I was like, with all the white.
Yeah, I remember it had like hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
So that's what I remembered. And I walked in, I'm like, wait, I've been here before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, have I been to Ridgeway Plaza before? And I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh my God, we were in Ridgeway Plaza.
It wasn't Ridgeway Plaza at the time.
So that place was good. The iced coffee, 10 out of 10. I got an iced caramel macchiato and it's 50% off by the time you guys listen to. Yeah, because it's their 2-year anniversary.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
By the time y'all are listening to this.
So what was it, like $10?
No, it was actually $6.
$6. So it's still $12, $13 or whatever, like if in the full price.
It was $6 because.
Yeah.
And this is what I learned. At the Yemeni coffee shops, if you ask for iced coffee, they charge you $1.50.
They're taking advantage of, like, at this point we got to stop supporting these guys just so they know, like, who really has the power here. Okay,
you know who you should support? I'm acting like I'm getting paid from the 13 cents.
It was only $6.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
At least mine wasn't even $6. I think
mine was 8.
Mine was like 5.5, basically $6. Yeah, with tax and everything, you know how it is. Yeah, but
if Cousin Connection ever opened up a coffee shop, we would try to have reasonable prices.
I feel like coffee shop, is that your calling?
No, because hear me
coffee
out.
Coffee shop, really?
Hear me out. Not that I...
Okay, if we did hypothetically have a coffee shop, yes, our prices would be. But I never thought of Cousin Connection getting a coffee shop.
No. This is like my secret dream.
What?
I'm just going to tell you now. It's no longer a secret. But imagine we opened up a coffee shop like Cousin Connection Presents, a third space.
Because
we've talked
like,
about it.
It would just be called the third space, but like in small print, it would say Cousin Connection Presents.
Yes, like a little logo in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
because we've talked about having a third space and like meeting your partner outside of work and school and home.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about that today, like businesses and like, you know, trying to find your audience and making sure you find the right location and, you know, frequency of customers in that area and all those things.
Would you guys
We got someone who's, you know, studying in that stuff. I'm just saying, okay.
Listen.
She can help us do the prior research to finding out where the best location would be. Okay.
Scarborough.
What? Yeah, Scarborough definitely probably would eventually be the location.
We need, like, we are missing. That's an untapped market.
Really? Scarborough's an untapped? It is, yeah. Now there's only really, like, Edel's.
There's Edel's and then there's 13 Sons.
Yeah, they're, like, for just your general cafe.
Yes.
Especially, and even 13 Sons doesn't have, like, some of the options that maybe we would look for. Because it is 100% vegan, which is actually would be good for Muslims because, like, you know, at least you don't have to worry about your meat mixing with anything else. But, you know, sometimes you want some meat. You want some eggs. You know, you want some protein. Not saying there's no protein in vegan food, but, you know, I'm talking about real protein here. I want them B12 vitamins. But going back to that, you know, if that's your dream, you know, we can make it work. You know what I'm just saying?
I'm just saying. I've literally thought about
but
this
maybe,
for the last
maybe, week. Maybe we should first work on getting some merch out there.
But
that's a small thing. Start small.
Hear me out. Because it could be a cafe. Yeah. And then in the back, it could be the podcast studio.
That could be actually a cool thing. I've been thinking about that. I was like, you know, we have all the tools. Like, I know how to, like, set it all up and stuff. Why not, like, have a place where we can record the podcast? And on the times we're not recording, we can have it as a space that people can rent in, right? We'll get back to you guys on that.
Like, do you see how excited I am? Because I've been, like, thinking about this for so long. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's all we're going to say about it. We're not going to tell you guys until something comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Now you know what my thoughts consist of. Mm-hmm. But anyways, back to Ridgeway.
Okay.
Have you been outside of that time that we went?
I don't think so. Like, maybe I've passed... cross paths with it, like, for work, because I drive around a lot. Well, back in the day, I used to drive around for work a lot, but this was before Ridgeway was ever Ridgeway. Since it's become what it is now, I don't think I've ever been there.
Okay, yeah, we definitely have to go.
We have to go back. Yeah. But I'm still not gonna ever, you know, forget about my original Ridgeway, Eglinton Plaza. Okay, or I don't even know if it's called Eglinton Plaza. It's part of Eglinton Plaza, but Eglinton Plaza is a huge place in itself. Or is that Eglinton Center? I'm getting confused.
It's
actually
now. Eglinton Square.
Eglinton Square, Eglinton, sorry, right? Yeah. So maybe this is Eglinton Plaza. What is that place called? That needs a name. Maybe it has a name, we're just unaware of
like
it.
Like where D-Spot is?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Eglinton Plaza?
No, it's called where D-Spot is. Because that's how we know.
D-Spot Square. This is D-Spot.
This is D-Spot.
Nah, that's too... That's too. Also, speaking of D-Spot, we went there last night. She wasn't feeling it.
You didn't like D-Spot?
You know what? But I can, like, also, we didn't get, we got, like, just, I got a regular cake. Yeah. Right? So would. That didn't give her, like, the best idea what their dessert, you know, how it would taste. Oh, you didn't like the cost. Yeah, it is expensive, though.
Did they increase their prices?
They are getting pretty expensive, yeah. For, like, a cake, what used to be $9.99 was $16.99. Yeah.
For a slice of cake?
Yeah. For like, a slice of cake, which I can for the price that I got the cake, I can probably buy that whole cake.
No.
The slice of cake, sorry. Okay, nowadays cakes for that kind of cake, I feel like you can get it for maybe $25, something like that.
Yeah.
And I got it for $16.99. Okay, a cake and a half. I mean a slice and a half.
That's right? Crazy.
Yeah. So when they're getting up to those prices, I feel like the upcharge is just not worth it. I might as well just go to like Metro. Buy the exact same cake that they got in La Roca, whatever they're getting.
Yeah, it does look like a La Roca cake. Yeah, right?
I'm pretty sure they're getting all their stuff from La Roca.
You know, like, I no longer...
No hate to D-Spot. You guys have been to Spot for a long time, but...
Yeah, like, D-Spot prices, was prices. Like...
But what were you saying?
But, like, Dimitri's rant walked so that D-Spot could run.
Yeah, Dimitri's you know? Was OG Spot. Before, like, when we didn't have all these halal spots everywhere...
Mm.
We still had to make find certain spots that we could go to and still hang out, right? Dimitri's was there on Danforth, specifically the one on Danforth.
I feel like I no longer have like the craving to go and like I'm just gonna go buy like a waffle with like brownies on it. I don't know. I just
no. You do that. We do it as a group thing, right?
Yeah, no. It's like for social settings or social whatever gatherings.
Yeah.
But I feel like now if I want something sweet. You know what my hyperfixation is?
What?
Milk cakes.
Milk cakes?
You know why?
Like the ones at...
Diamo?
You get the Diamo? Yeah.
They opened... I told you, right? They opened one up next to my house.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
That's like, dangerous.
Walking distance?
No, it's so walking distance? Yes. Where's walking distance from your house?
Well, I'm going to have to give up the location. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I'll tell you after we're done recording. But it's so... Like, so close.
Really?
That I went one day...
gotta be out of someone's house.
It honestly, basically, it's not, but yeah. Like, it's like in one of those like.
Oh, I know. I think I know where it is.
Remember when I was doing that like liberal campaign and it was next to the.
That is not walking distance.
Yes, it is. That's like five, less than 5 kilometers from my house.
That's like a good like 50-minute walk.
No, so maybe like 30.
You know, so yeah, sometimes distance does kind of feel different when walking. I don't know. I feel like sometimes something that seems far by a car because it takes like at least like 9 minutes to get there by a car.
From my house?
Actually, no.
No, it's literally a 3-minute drive.
Yeah, I'm starting to think about it now. Okay, yeah. I'm off. Yeah, okay. Maybe it is walking distance, okay?
It's pretty close. And
yeah.
Like on the other side of me, on the other end of the main street, there's another dessert spot called Petite Delight. I'm really giving away where I live. Like, it's fine. Oh,
no, they're not going to find your specific place from like a plaza that's a main street away or whatever.
But I walk there, so like I know you.
Come on now.
I'm a nobody.
You guys aren't gonna like try and track us and like, you know, just start following us, are you? Just don't follow us.
Oh, okay. The reason why I brought up Bridgeway was because remember what I texted you last week? I wanted to mention that. So while I was at GC Burger, I ended up meeting a listener, a viewer/listener. And I'm
wasn't
reading.
It a couple or just one?
No, it was the guy, and then he FaceTimed his sister because she wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
But shout out to Shaista and Umair. He was very nice. Like, and it caught me off guard because he kind of just like walked up to me and he's like, "Hey, are you Sada from the podcast?" And I was like,
"That's how it always happens."
How did you know?
Not that it happens very often, but it does, whenever it does, it does happen.
It's always like in the most random locations. Like I genuinely just didn't.
But that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Just oot in a boot.
And he was like very nice. And he's like, listen, my sister and I are really big fans of the podcast. Can I FaceTime her? And you, so I was like, yeah, absolutely. So we FaceTimed.
You definitely did better than I did. Why? I had one very awkward interaction.
Really?
At like an IKEA once.
What happened?
Huh?
What happened?
It was just very awkward. I was like, because I like you said, you weren't expecting it. And like, I'm like, when I say I'm introvert, it's like, you know, I'm not very good with social interactions with people like I don't know. So I was just like, oh, I honestly can't even remember the details because I feel like I blanked out for a second.
Oh, no.
But it was definitely awkward, like just standing and staring for a second, kind of awkward. But, you know, I can't even say that it ended well. It ended well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I know what it's like to like see someone that maybe you listen to or you watch online, mm-hmm. and you're like, should I say hi? Should I not? Mm-hmm. And you kind of hesitate, or you're like, I don't want to bother them. They look like mm-hmm. they're like, you know, whatever, with their friends or whatnot. I don't know about Amir, but personally, if you see me, I welcome. Please come and say hi.
No, I welcome it. I'll just welcome it very awkwardly.
You'll get to see the real Amir. Yeah. Just kidding.
You get to see the real me here too. Okay, I'm just saying this is me when I'm relaxed.
Yeah.
And like in people with people I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can be like that with relaxed with like people I don't know, but like it's a very like controlled environment.
I get that.
Yeah.
I think like in those moments, because remember I used to, whenever you would say that you're an introvert, I'd be like, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. But really,
no,
like,
you're not. You're not even close.
Those moments is when I realize I'm actually an extrovert.
Mm-hmm. Truly one.
It yeah. hits me in those moments because I'm meeting like essentially a stranger, but I mm-hmm. now. Like, how do I say this? When you watch us and you listen to us, we open up a part of ourselves and our mm-hmm. lives to you. And so you feel like you can relate or like you know us in a way.
Yeah.
And so whenever we meet people, mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know you, but I want to know you and I want to get to know you. So like, tell me all about your life, even though mm-hmm. like most of the time they're usually saying like, love the podcast, like mm-hmm. love the dynamics, the relationships, or you guys are funny, whatever. And I'm like, thank you so much. Tell me about yourself. Like, what are your, like, what do you like? What are your hobbies?
I should have done that. I wish, you know? I did that.
But sometimes I get nervous too. Don't get mm-hmm. me wrong.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it truly catches me off guard. Like when we were going to your nikah, when we were flying to your nikah last year.
Yeah.
We were in the security line, like waiting to speak to the mm-hmm. officer. And what, you know, the people that like organize the lines and tell you like, go to this mm-hmm. queue or whatever.
Oh, was it like a Somali girl?
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Yes.
Yeah, I had the same person.
With the hijabi?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But like, I was flying back from Dallas or something like that. I forget where I was flying back from. But oh. I think she was working the same line.
Yeah, because she was there.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, go to line whatever. And then after that, I was like, sorry, which one? Mm-hmm. And then she directs us and she looks at me and she's like, I love your podcast. And I was like, I love you.
See, so you did well then.
Yeah, but yeah. it was such a like mm-hmm. cute interaction.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I had her manager watching or something. She can't be fanning.
Yeah, the officers are. But even like that time we came back from Sweden with my mom.
Yeah,
remember we just came off that like disgusting.
Oh, that was the interaction. Maybe I'm talking about where there was like the girl just
She's like, love your podcast.
Yeah.
That was another one.
Oh, it was a different person. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like I truly enjoy those moments because obviously it's not every day that we get to like connect with the people that listen to us.
Yeah.
So all this is to say, if you see us out and about, please say hi.
Yeah. And we'll hopefully, like I said last time, hopefully I won't be awkward this time.
It's okay. But even if you are, you're remaining true to yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So. You're getting the authentic Amir.
Exactly.
Both sides of me.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was your week. I forget what we did. This week, we kind of just like became couch potatoes a little bit. Just a little bit. We might have gotten obsessed with a little game called Expedition 33 for all our non-gamers out there. As we were explaining to Seth, like, let's just say this game came out like maybe a month and a half or 2 months ago. Mm. And we've been meaning to play it. But like because of like the wedding and all that stuff, we didn't have time. Mm-hmm. But the moment we were done with that, we actually had like a little bit of free time.
Yeah.
And we got into this. And like for those who do know about games, like think of it like Final Fantasy. But it takes place in like more of a fantasy world that's heavily inspired by France, like Paris, France. What?
I have a question.
What?
Is Final Fantasy a genre or is it the name of a
game? Oh, it's the name of a game? The genre is...
I really wasn't sure.
The genre is like a turn-based adventure.
Like Zelda?
No, Zelda is like action. Like turn-based means that like as you're running around, you have like either random encounters with enemies and then it goes to... It's like Pokemon. Remember Pokemon? How you when you walk through tall grass?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then you have to like... It goes into fighting mode. Have you ever played Pokemon? You've seen it.
Do I look like I play games?
But like, I feel like Pokemon, at least you have a good reference for like how that game played. No?
Like, kind of. Like, I know people play Pokemon
Like,
Go.
You remember that?
Yeah, that thing.
So basically that.
Have you played it recently? Like, why do you randomly remember that?
Everyone remembers. That's, you hear it a million times in that game.
How do you remember that? You played it recently, haven't you?
No, I didn't.
How did you remember that?
How do I remember what?
You just jogged the memory, that sound effect.
Because we literally heard it a million times as kids. That's why.
But you don't remember anything. You remember that?
Yeah. It was ingrained in my like formative years. Okay. That's why. But it's like that. It's like turn-based, but it's like active. These are details you don't even know about. But let's just say it was a really good game. Very, very good game. We didn't beat it 100%. We got like basically to the end. But it's a really good game for all our gamers out there. So if you are a gamer, just check out Expedition 33 is very good, and it's only made, and the big thing about this game is that it was made by a very small crew of like 33 people, at least in the main crew is like 33 people in France, which is unheard of in the gaming world nowadays. It looks like a very AAA game. AAA means like in a movie terms like blockbuster, like high value, like not value but high
quality?
budget. But it was only made by 33 people and like an independent developer, all those things, which means that it had a very small budget and they were still able to make one of the best games of the year. So it shows you that like you don't need a bunch of money and you don't need like to listen to all these like big producer heads who want to put in their own like ideas into this thing. Like as long as you have a good crew with a good story, you can make something like this without having to need those hundreds of millions of dollars that these companies are throwing out there, but saying like, oh, you have to like, you know, listen to us or whatever. Oh. But yeah, it's a really good game. That took up a lot of our time for the week. And outside of that, so earlier in the week or throughout the week, I was trying to convince Hanan here. She's actually still in Yazoo today. I was trying to convince her like, oh, we should go and watch Superman, right? But you know, it's kind of hard. What's the hook, right? And thankfully, the hook came to her in a different way because she found out through a TikTok that like Superman's actually pro-Palestine. So immediately when she saw that, she messaged me. What?
I have another clarifying question.
What's that?
Is this Marvel or DC?
DC.
Okay.
Yeah. Really? For Superman too?
I didn't know.
Okay. Okay. You know what?
Superman, Spider-Man, to me, sounds like they're the same.
Yeah. You know what? I'll give you that.
But
yeah.
Hey.
What?
This was a good question because I now know the difference.
Okay, exactly. Batman's also DC.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wonder Woman, DC.
The Hulk, Marvel.
Marvel, exactly.
What's the one that looks like the Hulk but isn't and he's DC? There's like a big guy that looks like...
Oh, Bane.
Who?
Yeah.
Who Bane. The hell is that?
No,
not... I don't know who that is.
Mm.
I'm thinking of someone else. There's like a big guy that looks like he could be the Hulk, but he's not. And he's DC.
And he has like green tubes sticking out of him?
I don't know who you're talking about. Sorry.
Does he have like a mask?
No, maybe I'm just... Oh, you know who I'm thinking of?
Who?
The purple guy. Again. Thor? No, not Thor.
Oh, you're thinking of Thanos.
Thanos, that's what it is.
Marvel. Yeah.
Okay.
But
it's Wolverine, that's DC.
No.
He's Marvel?
Yeah.
Wolverine?
Yeah.
Isn't he with Catwoman and like Batman and all that?
No, no, not even close.
Who's the one with Catwoman and Batman? The other one that's with
Joker?
No.
And Robin?
No, there's another one that's like in that crew. And he has hair? Who's that?
He has hair? You mean Robin? Or like...
Is Wolverine not DC?
No. Wolverine's like probably one of the biggest Marvel characters. Like one of the most popular and well-known Marvel characters.
My life has been a lie. I thought he was DC.
I feel like we've clarified. They literally came out with a Marvel... A Wolverine and Deadpool movie for Marvel recently.
Oh.
Okay, but besides that...
Okay, yeah, so Superman is pro-Palestinian.
So, yeah, so she heard that from the TikTok. So she's the one who came up to me and was like, let's go and watch the movie now. And literally, like, this was on Friday. We were already planning on doing something else. She's like, no, we're going to watch it now. So we booked the tickets then and went out to watch it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to actually, like, follow through with that.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of, like, pro-Palestine analogies.
Oh.
Yeah. Is analogies the right word? Like, where it's kind of like, it's not saying it, but it's giving an example of like something that's very similar to it. So, like, basically, if someone was for what Superman was doing in the movie, I don't know if I should spoil what was going on in that movie, but if you're for what he was doing, then you should be pro-Palestinian. Like, you shouldn't, like, it puts it out there to where, like, if you agree with this, you should be agreeing with this. And we were, I don't know if it was you that I was talking about this with, we were pointing out like the hypocrisy of like how people will look at every situation in the world, be like, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And like, you'll give them the exact situation that's happening between Palestine and that other country that's currently oppressing them. And they'll be like, nah, that's different. That's different. Like
they almost like dehumanize the Palestinians.
Yeah, but it's crazy how like, there's that switch or like that, I think they call it cognitive dissonance, where they can look at two situations that are exactly the same, but just because of who the other people are or who the people that are perpetrating are, they just let it pass. And they're like, oh no, they're totally in the right. Whatever they do, they're totally in the right. Right. So the trailers kind of do give away some of this, but like basically it's what everything that happens in the movie is what someone who was pro-Palestinian wishes they could do right now with what's going on.
I understand.
Right? So, like, you know how every time you always have them in your mind. I don't know if this happened for you, but I feel like a lot of people do this where in their mind, when they see a situation like that, they're like, I wish I could just, like, fly over there and just end it right now. Like, just literally, like, go to the president and just take him out and... Not take him out, like, in that way. I mean, like...
Put him in timeout.
Yeah, put him in timeout. Permanently. Basically. No, not permanently.
Oh, temporarily. Not permanently. For a long time. Sorry. Time out for a long time. Jail.
Yeah. Jail him. Exactly. Just jail him. Like, you know, but that and sorry, you could get his troll. But yeah, those things, like the things you wish and imagine that you can do if, you know, in a perfect world where you had superpowers.
Mm.
But this kind of gives you that like cathartic feeling. I don't know if that's the word, but yeah, it is very cathartic to see like, okay, if there was a world where Superman really existed and heroes really existed, I feel like they would know the difference between right and wrong and be able to intervene in cases like this where they clearly see, and people have seen in the trailer, like it's literally a militarized force. Like they have all the weapons, everything, going against people with like sticks and stones, like literally sticks and stones and pitchforks. I think I literally saw pitchforks on there. And yeah, the way they present it, it's like, it's almost like they're telling you, they're basically telling you like, hey, this is what's going on right now.
Yeah. But I mean, for people who watch it that maybe don't feel like they can resonate or understand the oppression of the Palestinian people, if you're able to watch this movie and you can very clearly identify who is the oppressed and who is the oppressor, maybe that kind of forces you to look inwards to then reevaluate like how you're viewing what's actually happening in the world and check yourself for a second to be like, wait, why can't I recognize or why can't I actually acknowledge the fact that this is happening and what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, despite who is the aggressor versus the one that's being like aggressed in that case.
But unfortunately, I feel like a lot of people's when a lot of people when they're like confronted with something like that, they'll do as much as they can and try and come up with as many excuses as they can to like still explain why they are right in this situation or how this is different.
Sometimes it could be that deep down they know what the truth is, but maybe it could be due to like reputational issues. It could be like because of financial ties, like other external factors that are preventing them from actually speaking the truth.
Yeah. And like the one thing that the kind of the movie kind of brings up is like how people, the moment politics is mentioned, they don't want to get involved at all.
Yeah.
Like there are characters in the movie who can see that it's wrong, but because it's a political issue, they don't feel like they can or are they're not willing to do anything about it because they're saying it's all political. Because that word, for some reason, just takes a humanity out of a situation. The moment someone says, oh, it's a political issue, it's like, but there are people being unalived. It's like, but it's a political thing. It's like, that shouldn't matter.
It's almost
and that's
like
a like fight in the movie.
It's almost like they use like a political conflict as a way to like excuse what happens in between them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, there's casualties, but that's just what happens in a political conflict. Because
it's politics. Yeah. Exactly. So this kind of points out the this movie points out the hypocrisy in that. And yeah, there are a lot of like very poignant shots in the movie. I don't know if poignant is the right word, but like shots in the movie that for anyone who's been seeing all the atrocities currently going on in the world, but not only specifically in only about Silent, but like in the world in general, like they'll sympathize and kind of it's a representation of what they've been seeing on TV for the past like 3 years. Like it was a nice surprise because I already wanted to watch the movie.
Yeah.
But like I wasn't just going to go watch it myself, right? I wanted to kind of get her.
No, you're married now. You don't have to go by yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was glad that like she saw that and that she had actually ended up loving it almost probably more than me.
Really?
Like, I swear, I'm not even lying right now. She literally said, I love that movie at least 10 times today. Like, just randomly. We'll be like putting away dishes and she'd be like, I love that movie.
Amir definitely like turned around and he was like, oh, my, like, you know that what? One meme where it's like
my plan is working or something like that. Yeah,
my plan is working.
Yeah, but I feel like we have a lot of similar interests anyways. As long as I feel like the difference between us is that like for me, I'll watch it because I'm just generally a
fan already.
A fan and like a nerd for that kind of stuff. But she also has that, but like it also has to have like a message behind it. I feel like it has to be thought provoking or it has to have a good story. Like it can't just like for me, if it's a Marvel movie, I might just go watch it because it's a Marvel movie. But for her, it'll be like if it's a Marvel movie, it has to if it's a Marvel movie, I might go and watch it. But it has to like be something different. It has to maybe have a good message or a good story, something that like a good hook.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's, my threshold's a lot lower.
I watch anything with Marvel, and I'm like, after 15 years,
You know, I still have hope.
A fan is a fan.
We did recently also like in our couch potato week. We did also watch the Ironheart series that Marvel came out with, which featured what's her name. I don't know if anyone's watched, well, I feel like a lot of people have watched Black Panther 2. Like, generally, if you're not even a Marvel fan, I feel like people, especially black people, just went out and watched Black Panther 2 because, you know, it's a black hero and a black superhero and, like, you didn't watch it?
Like, I watched the first one.
I thought you watched it!
No.
Oh, I thought they got you. Okay. Maybe they didn't.
Think I started it, but I don't think I finished it.
Well, there was, like, basically, like, the black female Iron Man, like she's a super genius.
The sister of Black Panther.
No. She worked with her, but like, yeah, there was a girl who was like basically like the black female version of Iron Man in that like she's a super genius. She built her own Iron Man suit or Iron Suit, I guess, Iron Woman suit. And this show was following her back following her after those events of Black Panther 2, where she goes back to college.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool. And like, we went into it thinking that it was going to be like a superhero, another superhero show, like following, seeing her rise as a Ironheart or whatever. But it was something very different from what we were expecting. So maybe that's, that kind of like tainted our opinion on the show. But yeah, it definitely isn't what you're going to expect from a Marvel show and just like a superhero show in general. You can't even say the word superhero show because I feel like it's just about a person. It's not about being a superhero or anything like that. It's literally about like a person and following their decisions and seeing where they go right and where they go wrong. And seeing like the consequence. It's mainly about the consequences of someone's trauma. And how someone's decisions can be fueled by their trauma. Mm. So that was like an interesting take. Mm-hmm. And maybe like if we watch a few more like video essays, because I love watching video essays on these kind of things, I feel like my opinion might change on the show. I didn't hate it, but it's definitely like you have to think about it. Maybe even watch it again to kind of understand the underlying message or deeper message that's in it.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
Like watching something twice. Because the first time you watch it, like for the first time,
yeah,
and you might miss key details,
yeah,
but then I'll watch it again and I notice other things, mm-hmm. and I feel like my whole opinion changes.
Yeah, and also if you go into something not with, like, you're not already kind of into it, so it takes longer for you to kind of even get into the story.
Mm.
Like a good example of this is actually going back to that Expedition 33 game, because it's very story driven. I don't know if I mentioned that. It's a very story driven game. The first time we played it, Hanan, like, she didn't understand what was going on initially, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't really hit her like it did, because the second time she went back and, sorry, I know I'm kind of giving your own things, but this is just to help with the example.
Yeah.
But she played it by herself, like, through the beginning, and it hit her a lot harder because she actually was, like, now she understands what's going on. Like, and this was a game that I just brought to her and didn't really tell her much about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like now that you kind of have, we've gone, like, deeper into the game initially, when she went back to replay it, like, you're catching the smaller things, and it becomes more emotional, more poignant. Like, I feel like, I don't know why I said that word. Poignant, is that the right word? But yeah, I feel like you get it more. Mm-hmm. But that happens with a lot of shows where, like, you might be introduced to something new and something different, and you might miss out on some small things that are fed to you early on in the story, that because you missed out on them initially, the things that happen afterwards, like, they don't hit you as hard. Because, like, oh, where's that coming from? That kind of, it's like, oh, they told you that at the beginning, but you just weren't paying attention.
Oh, my God. That was, like, this movie I saw on Netflix. Like, it's a Tyler Perry movie. Mm-hmm. What was it called again?
Oh, was it the one on Netflix? So good. Yeah. I heard that was like very, like, people were crying watching that.
I was sobbing.
Really?
Yes.
What is it called? Let me search it up. I saw people crying to it, and I don't want to watch it because I don't want to cry.
It was so so good. What was it called?
Was it a series? Oh, it's called Straw.
Yes, yeah. Straw.
The main actor was who was it again?
The girl from
Taraji P. Henson.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Tiana Taylor was in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's been in a few movies now. I've seen her in a few trailers.
Really?
Yeah. There was one we were watching before the Superman movie. There was a trailer she was in. I forget which movie it was.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah. She that movie was really good. You should watch it.
Really? But like, what was the point you were getting to again? You were saying like there was something you didn't catch initially.
Yeah, so like I watched it the first time, and it's still, the main message hit me, but then I watched a couple TikToks on it, and they were calling out these little details. I'm like, oh, I literally did not notice that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and I watched it, and I was like, wow.
Like, oh, so like the second time you watched it, you actually really understood what was going on, and it hit you hard. Did you cry more the second time? Or because you already knew what was going to happen, you're like, eh.
No, it hit me even more.
Oh, okay.
Because then I really understood, like, the whole, like, theme and the message that it was conveying.
Yeah.
Because I watched it the first time and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched it again. I'm like, oh, man. And I knew it was coming. And it's just like, I'm not even a mother, but I felt it. I truly felt it. I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving not the same storyline, but, like, if you remember I Am Sam.
Yeah.
Or like Miracle in Cell Number 7 or Cell
I
Number
I never
9.
Watched that one because you told me it was going to make you cry and I didn't
I was
it.
Ugly crying for that
See,
one.
I
and it wasn't even in
like
English.
I can't even watch movies like that. I'm sorry.
No, but remember how that anime movie made you cry, the one
yeah,
that you watched?
Yeah.
This is like along the lines of that.
I can't do that again.
And like
after Grave of Fireflies, I'm like, I'm done with sad movies.
I think we should watch that one.
Nope. Not doing it.
Hanan.
Sorry.
That's your homework. You got to make him watch Straw.
No.
I feel like, but can I tell you what the theme was?
Okay.
The theme, and Tyler Perry movies, usually you're like.
That's racist. The white man told you to not like his movies, okay?
No, I enjoy some of the movies. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of them.
I know what you're talking about. Like Madea and stuff like that. You're like,
yeah. And like even the serious ones mm-hmm. too that like were on Prime and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was different. Like this one, the theme was centered around so you know normally like especially African-American women's mental health is mm-hmm. often like ignored, overlooked like
generally African-American women's health is overlooked
exactly
yeah
or minimized
yeah
and so this like I'm gonna be giving away this story
mm-hmm. but is that generally what it's about? It's about like
it's highlighting like because normally I feel like a lot of African-American like black women all of us are kind of told like mm-hmm. you know don't be too angry, don't be yelling because then you're gonna look like the mad yeah. black woman. And so this story follows a single mom mm-hmm. and her daughter and the struggles that she faced yeah. in her specific situation. I don't want to give it away because I want you to watch it. Mm. But yeah, it was.
Okay, you know what? Maybe we'll get if we're really feeling it on a lazy couch day, I might give it a try. We'll see. Okay.
I think you should.
Yeah. But next thing on the docket is another thing that's been taking over Muslim TikTok. And
East African TikTok.
Is it? Yeah, East African TikTok mainly
mm-hmm.
is actually it's a cross of both, but it's something called the T app.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's, you know, causing a stir in mainly the Somali community, but I feel like in the general East African community, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of crossing there. But essentially, the T app is an app where women can post about men they've interacted with and had some relations, you know, maybe gone out with here and there. And then I believe they can give like a red flag or a green flag, depending on like how that interaction went with them. And there's like a huge, I saw someone scrolling on TikTok with like all the men in there. It's like a lot of people and you're putting their picture on there. So like they're straight up just showing who these people are that they're interacting with. And you'll see guys with like 30, 40 red flags.
It's crazy.
Rarely you see a green flag. I feel like people mainly go on that app to like, put on the red flags. I don't think they're really putting many green flags on there.
Well, another point that you forgot to mention mm-hmm. was that it's like an app exclusively for women.
Oh, yes.
And I think, you know, a lot of men on TikTok I saw, you know, y'all have your old panties in a bunch because you're being exposed. And I think it's important to remember what the purpose of the app was to call out, you know, predators or men who are abusive,
mm-hmm.
potential SA situations. It's supposed to protect women from putting themselves in that situation, especially as they mm-hmm. are getting to know guys for the sake of marriage. And sometimes you're getting to know a complete stranger where there are no, mutuals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to ask, like, you're not going to ask his friends.
Yeah.
So this app was created for that. And I think the anger from men comes from the fact that, one, their pictures are being posted,
mm-hmm.
but it almost feels like, based on these screenshots and, like, the scrolling, it almost feels like every guy and any guy is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it could just be, like, an angry ex that's, like, red flag, even if that person's not actually,
mm-hmm.
like, a red flag.
I guess that's, like, the one big issue with it is that because anyone can post about mm-hmm. that person, like, yeah, people who feel like, even let's say the story, it wasn't even their fault, like whatever happened,
mm-hmm.
they can twist the story and make them sound a lot worse than what the real situation was.
I mean, take everything with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. of course. But also, like, so as soon as I saw the TikToks, I said, mm-hmm. I want to look into this.
Yeah.
And I tried to download it, and it's only available for Americans at the moment.
I know. But so, thankfully. I married one.
So we downloaded still it. Have,
yeah, it was access to the American apps.
And we're just waiting to get access granted to us.
Yeah, unfortunately, we just got it, so we haven't gotten access. But I feel like TikTok's kind of shown us roughly what is on there already. Not like the actual notes that are written by those individuals.
No, it was like just scrolling.
Yeah.
And I was telling Amir I saw someone I know. I never dated him. I just... Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I saw the face and I was like, I know him from Clubhouse.
And to go back to that one issue that it might have where like someone's, you know, disgruntled ex or whatever, like maybe one or maybe two max, you could say that. But when you have like 30 or 40 red flags, first off, how are these guys getting 30 or 40 red flags to begin with? It must be just interactions in general.
Probably.
Like, it can't be like these guys have gone out with all these people or talked to, been in talking process with that many. Really? Guys are out there like that?
Guys are out there like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I feel innocent. I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, but then, so it came out that the men retaliated their own. I forgot what it was called. They had a name for it.
It doesn't matter what it's called because I think it's like almost shut down already.
It got shut down. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because men just, y'all ruin everything. Like you took something.
Let's not put all men.
You're just so mad.
But like the thing is, it makes sense because the people who are being called out are most likely going to be the ones who are angry and the ones who are going to be putting information on that new app made just for men or whatever. And they already have red flags, so they're not going to make the best decisions and they're going to start putting up stuff that they probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, they were posting like private pictures of girls on there.
Yeah.
Inappropriate ones.
Basically like revenge images, if you know what I'm talking about.
And so.
But like, I think within 24 hours, the person who runs that page, like, put in an angry message saying, I'm shutting this down for now. I'm going to have it back up in 24 to 48 hours. Anyone who posts, like, NSFW pictures and stuff like that will be banned immediately. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But
we will.
For the guys who are being called out, I don't think they are even... They already have a track record not making the best decisions. So I don't know if this is going to last very long. I'm just saying.
We will see.
Yeah. So the T app is, I feel like it's going to fizzle out. I don't know. Actually, I guess it's up to the women on whether or not, like, if this turns out to actually be a general good, like, people actually start using it over time. And because, of course, when it first came out, everybody was putting all the information they knew on there. But will it continue to be updated? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And whether people will actually start using it. You know, because the guys at the end can be like, oh, no, don't worry. It's just like, you know, it's like, but then again, that's up to the women on making decisions on what happens.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's true. But on the topic of Somalis. So remember last week we told you we saw those AI videos of Mogadishu 2026?
Yeah.
Or 2025.
And I was questioning, like, do they even have a kubba or like some type
soccer
of thing? Yeah.
So it turns out on last week's episode, someone actually confirmed like, hey, they actually do have soccer. It's happening this week.
Literally the week we were talking about it.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, we're living under a rock. We didn't know.
As we're recording this right now, apparently they're having their gala night.
They are. And then today, I told Amir, I was like, yo, it's real. It actually happened. Because I randomly got a TikTok of some of the soccer players complaining about the dysfunction.
Of the organization. Yeah.
And we're here to say, we feel you, bruh.
It's so crazy how, like, it's so universal. This, like, issue with, you know, the people who run an event versus the people who are going to it.
But you know what? In the organizer's defense, organizing such a large program is difficult if you have no experience. If you do have experience, usually you can, like, pull from past soccer festivals or whatever and, like, use the mistakes and the opportunities to like do better.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is their first year ever. I have no idea. I've never heard of a Somali soccer week before this.
No, I feel like it's probably happened many more times before this, right? Especially for a community that's so large. I'm pretty sure that they have done it. Oh yeah, they have done it before.
They have?
I was searching up like specifically after I saw that TikTok that you were talking about, I searched specifically like Toronto or Somali soccer 2025 or something like that. But I was getting, you know, can you scroll more? I was getting TikToks from like 2023, 2022. So they have done it before. So they there's a few of these, but of course they do it in different places, right? Like of course Minneapolis, and I think Seattle was like another one. They have different places that they do it, just like we do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know who started this, but like now I'm thinking, was it an original decision from our community? Because if all the other communities were doing it, it must have been something that they took from another community, or maybe vice versa. I'm not sure.
I think like for the diasporas, it mm-hmm. was probably a way for them to be like, you know what, like, yeah, our kids are meeting each other in mm-hmm. our in immediate community, but like, why not open up the opportunities for everyone to meet globally, mm-hmm. Or not, maybe not globally, but like nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very possible because the East African communities are so interlinked.
Yeah.
Maybe like the Eritrean community saw it from the Somali community, who saw it from the Hariri community, or vice versa. I don't know who started it first. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to claim that. I'm just saying they probably saw it within each other and said, hey, if they could do it, mm-hmm. we can do it. You know what would be really cool though?
What?
It was like an East African soccer week. You think that'll cause rivalry?
Not only rivalry, but like just the sheer amount of people.
Yeah, it'd be a lot.
That would come out for that. Because like, look at, we're a small community.
Mm.
Hariris are a small community. Look how like busy it was at Center Island. Look how busy it was at our gala nights and like all the events. And this is just for a smaller community. I couldn't imagine what gala night looks like for the Somali community. I'm going to search out. I'm definitely searching up those TikToks later.
We should go.
I don't know about that. But I'm definitely searching up the TikToks to see what it looks like how busy it really gets, right? Mm. Maybe it could be maybe in the Somali community, like it's something that happens but it's not attended as much as the Hariris community, because typically when you're a smaller community, I feel like it's more people would attend it because everyone knows each other and it's more of a tight-knit community. But I feel like the Somali community is so much more larger, and there's also tribes in the Somali community as well, so like maybe that comes into play somehow. Mm-hmm. But with that amount of people, it could be that like this is something that does happen, but it's not all of the Somali people who are even aware of it happening or participate in it.
Yeah, that's probably likely too,
because mm-hmm.
there's so many of them.
That's why I want to look it up and see what it's like.
Yeah,
maybe they have previous years where they've done it, and I couldn't imagine them doing it in Minnesota. Like, how is that even like organized in Minnesota? Now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I feel like the whole city would turn up. Well, not turn up, but turn out. Turn up and turn out.
But I feel like because Minnesota is basically like a mini Somalia, mm-hmm. like I feel like they would probably be pretty organized.
Would they be?
I think so.
I guess so, but it's interesting. I guess the most interesting part was seeing how the issues that happen at their soccer events or just events in general are the same things that happen in our events or our community events. So it's a very universal thing to probably not only like East Africans, maybe it happens to everyone, West Africans, North Africans, South Africans, Europeans, Asians, anyone, any community I feel like has maybe some type of like weird organizational issues.
Yeah, I think like, you know,
it makes
a lot
you feel,
of us are a lot more similar than we think.
Yeah,
we
it makes you feel more heard, and you know, you feel like, okay, you might be frustrated, but this is a frustration that everyone is aware of and can, you know, feel you on.
Yeah, it's the immigrant struggle.
Yeah, for real. But that was just funny how like we mentioned it and we just found out it was literally happening this week as well.
And I know.
So maybe Mogadishu 2026 might actually happen.
We should pull up.
Yeah. So next, this is more like in the news realm or something that's actually connected to what we do here. I was sent an article that says YouTube is actually getting rid of AI.
I didn't even know YouTube used AI.
No. They're getting rid of people who use AI on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're basically like, liven up your stuff or we're going to get you off of here. I like almost, and that's like, not those exact words, but here, I'll read it out for you. Okay. I actually have it here on my phone. So the headline was that YouTube to pay only for real voices and original content starting July 15th. And for more details, it basically says to qualify for the YouTube Partner Program, creators must now produce original content featuring real voices. So all those videos you've been seeing on YouTube these days where it's an AI voice that shows a bunch of images and talks about like maybe a crime story or is about, I don't know, give me another video that they talk about.
A lot of them are like...
Sorry? Cats. Yeah, cats. Just AI videos in general. You just hear a voice that kind of sounds human, but you can tell it's definitely not a human. So those things are basically out of it, no longer in the creator program. They can post it. Mm. So that's the thing. I guess they can technically still post it, but they just won't make money on it. Mm. And these people are posting these videos to begin with just to make money. So yeah, you might not even see those videos as much anymore. Probably and it not. Says, this means that videos relying on AI-generated voices, reused content, or low-effort compilations will no longer be eligible for monetization.
What does that mean, low-effort
compilation? So that's the thing. It's like kind of a gray area, because what constitutes low quality, right? Like it says, there's another page that says what content is affected. It said YouTube is targeting AI-generated voices. Okay, that's a little bit more easier to tell. Reuse or repetitive content. So sometimes people will rip like popular videos and they'll just repost the whole video on their own channel.
Yeah, and like slap on a logo or
something. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that would be gone. So that one can be a little bit easier to discern.
Yeah.
And then low effort compilations is the next one. So that one, I feel like when they say that, they mean like low effort is like taking a bunch of cat videos and putting them together and just like posting that as a video in itself. But like, I don't know, because you can say it's low effort, but then technically someone had to go out there and like, you know, curate all this stuff and put it into a video, right? And then edit it so it's showing only the best parts of those videos.
I'm thinking like low effort compilations is like, do you remember like in the early 2000s, it could be like a random photo of like a pine cone. And for some reason it has 15 million views.
What?
Yeah, they're like, and they're like 7-second videos.
I never saw those. Okay, that makes sense.
Like, that's what I assume is like
a low effort. Yeah, but you can't really get even like monetized for those. Videos have to be a certain length for them to be monetized.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially 7 seconds would not get monetized, but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of a gray area, but honestly, like, I'm hoping, actually, I was about to say, I hope that YouTube can figure it out, but YouTube has a really horrible history with like false flagging a lot of videos.
Yes, ours always get flagged.
Yeah, so I feel like this might lead to more videos getting false flags and saying like, oh, this is AI generated, but it really isn't. Mm. It's a real voice. Or it could be like it's AI generated, but it's the video itself is high effort. So it's a high effort video. They put a lot of work into it, but they just don't want to put their real voice out there. So they use AI. Because there are people who do that, like people who put in a fake voice, but they put in a lot of work into the actual video and they just want the script to sound consistent. And then the last point was just like automated or faceless videos. So that's also something that's kind of in a gray area because people, like I mentioned, people make faceless videos where it would be a documentary on something and they see no need to put their face into it. And also they don't want their voice to be out there, or maybe they don't feel like they have a voice made for documentaries. So they're like, oh, let me just get a voice of like a documentarian, like those popular ones, right? And just put that on it. Mm. But now that can't be put out there. And you could say like, oh, maybe they can just pay someone to do the voice. But at that point, you're introducing, you know, some money or a budget that person probably doesn't have.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets kind of into a gray area. But the first one is definitely like something I'm excited about, where the AI generated voices can be basically like, there's no incentive for people to do that anymore, because you see that a lot. And sometimes you'll look up a video for how to do something and you're 30 seconds in this video and you realize it's just an AI voice. It's not very helpful at all. And you have to click off of it. Mm. That happens so many times when I'm searching for stuff on the internet.
Really?
So, yeah.
Dang. So they really took over.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, this might be the reason why they kind of fizzle out, right? Because something has to be done about all the AI that's being posted, right? Or all the AI that's being utilized to basically generate money off these websites and take away views from all the creators who are actually putting in effort.
True.
Right? Because people only spend a certain amount of time on YouTube, and they're spending a lot of their time on YouTube watching these AI generated videos while the people who are putting actual effort into the videos aren't they getting views that they deserve, that's where you feel like something has to be done.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens across the internet in general. Mm-hmm. But this is, I guess, the first step from one of the biggest companies on the internet.
Yeah.
To do something about it.
Yeah, I guess
so. So, yeah. And the next one says, how do you stay monetized? It says, use your real voice, create unique and authentic content, add value through commentary or editing, and avoid AI-generated or recycled videos. Hmm. So those are the steps if you, as a creator, want to stay monetized. For those who have already been doing it, I feel like we would be okay in this situation. But for other people who are also YouTubers or just if you listen to this and are looking into it, that's something to watch out for.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing newsworthy today is something that, makes some of us feel a lot better about is more of the MAGA community, effing around and finding out. Mm. Because there is a dude called Chris Landry. This is a specific story about Chris Landry where he actually was born in Canada. Mm-hmm. But he moved to, I think, New Hampshire with his family at the age of 3.
Okay.
So he just feels like he's fully American. Sure, he has a Canadian citizenship and he has a green card, but he's never been able to get citizenship in America. But he's been doing fine with his green card up until now. Mm-hmm. He's now 46, 43 years old or something. So he's literally been in America for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he just went across the border into Canada for a family vacation. Mm-hmm. And when he came back to the border, they wouldn't let him in. They denied him entry into the country. And he's like, I've literally been here for 40 years in America.
Yeah.
And he himself voted for Trump and wanted him as a president. But now he literally has to think about whether or not he's going to have a future in America anymore or whether he'll ever be allowed in America. And the only reason, because with a green card, you essentially green card is the closest thing you can get to a citizenship, right? Mm-hmm. The reason he never got his citizenship was because, and the reason that he actually didn't gain entry into the country was because he had a small criminal record where he was found with marijuana years and years ago.
Yeah.
And they used that as a reason to not allow him to come into the country.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So now, and he has 5 kids.
Damn.
Yeah. And his whole family was able to get in except for him. So now he's what do I do now? What is my choices here? I literally have a whole family on the other side. All my money is everything. He doesn't know anything about Canada outside of going there for vacation, maybe having family there. Because I'm sure if they moved at 3 years old, there's probably some family who were left behind. But still, this guy he voted for this and now he's seeing the repercussions for it.
How about them apples? And
found out.
No, literally, F around and find out.
Yeah, so this is not a unique story. This is something that's happening to Americans everywhere who were super pro MAGA. And the thing is, these guys who are, find themselves in this situation, especially this Chris Landry guy, they ask him, have your thoughts changed on MAGA or just Trump in general? And they're always so hesitant to say, oh no, I don't agree with this at all. Even Chris Landry himself is I'm thinking about, maybe this isn't the right thing to do. They would never outright just go against what they used to just shout from the rooftops before. And there's actually a similar situation. I can't remember the names right now, but there was a family, a pro MAGA family in California where this woman, she's Iranian. She came over to America when she was 17 under a student visa. And then by the time she was finished school, when she graduated, the whole war or the government was toppled in Iran and she just didn't feel safe going back. So she stayed and tried to apply for asylum and she tried getting her citizenship, but it wasn't denied. I mean, it was denied, sorry. So she still stayed. But as long as she continued to check in, she was okay staying there. We're not going to deport you. You can stay here. But then randomly, a few weeks ago, they just pulled up to the house and hey, we're going to detain you and we're going to send you back to Iran. And this is someone who's literally lived at this point in America, same amount, almost 40 years. That's crazy. 3 kids. She has a whole family. And the sad thing about this whole story is that her husband was still pro MAGA afterwards. He was still talking about like, yeah, I still support Trump. I still support what he's doing. This will get sorted out. Don't worry. As long as at the end they're still getting the criminals, I don't, you know, this will get sorted out and we'll get our wife back. And I believe they were eventually able to release her only because one of the senators got involved. Oh, sorry. This wasn't in California. This was in Florida or Texas. One of those states, because it was a Republican senator. He came in and got involved and basically was able to like use his power to get her out. But not everyone has this same opportunity to be able to get pulled out or saved by a senator. So it's ironic how these people, not ironic, it's sad how these people can see it, the negative ramifications of what they voted for happening right in front of them, yet they're still not willing to call it out or even like continue to say that they support it.
Yeah.
At that point, it's like, how do you even reach people like that?
Is the husband also Iranian?
I think he's just American.
You know, sometimes like the mentality of immigrants is like, maybe if we just support the white man, quote unquote, that they'll favor us.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, do you think they did it because...
But I'm pretty sure he was just a white man. So it doesn't... Yeah. I think...
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, you try and reason with... You try and like find a reason in your brain, in your mind. You're like, how can a person like... There's still a person who hopefully like can think and like can reason and like can, you know, has some common sense. Like, how do you still fall for that? Right. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing that happened with like the Epstein stuff that recently came out, where they basically said that he did unalive himself. And there is no list that they've literally been talking about and saying that there is a list for many years. Right.
That's and a lie.
At a lot of these, like, they call them like the bro podcasters.
Yeah.
Like Andrew Schultz has one called Flagrant, and Theo Von has a podcast himself, and Joe Rogan. All these guys are the ones who were like interviewing like people like Donald Trump and the vice president and the head of the FBI, and had them on and talking about this Epstein, because they're all these bro podcasts, that's what they're mainly interested in. Like all those things, like finding out the files. And then they would go, the people would go on their podcast and tell them, yeah, we're totally going to come out with it. Like if we find anything, you guys will be the first to know. Mm. And then this comes out and they're like, and the bro podcast are like, oh my God, we got duped. It's like, sure. Yeah, of course. How could you not tell that they were lying in your face?
Yeah.
Like for me, it's so obvious that people are lying to you just from the way they're acting and the way they're talking about the situation. But like, how did they not see that? You think that these are people who, I guess at the end of the day, you realize they're just people, and you think that they know more than you, but they don't. They just happen to, you know, get a following, and maybe there are certain things that you did agree with them or you found funny that they're doing, because a lot of them are comedians.
Yeah.
But just because they're funny, it doesn't mean that they're smart and have common sense and can have good discernment on like, but... It's unfortunate because at the same time, people do think of them as being smarter or being better at like, you know, calling out the bull or like making good decisions just because they are popular or successful. And because they have that pull and they were able to get these, you know, people like Donald Trump and the vice president onto podcasts, that might have given them that, you know, extra push to be able to become the president and stuff like that. And they were used at the end of the day, and now they're realizing that they were used, but it's like too late.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do now? The country's already being ruined, and it's not even our country, but we're being affected by all the things that are happening down there.
Of course we are.
But it's just how in your mind, I'm still trying to reason or trying to find like how the people think this way. And the only thing I can think of is like, it's a cult. You know, it's a cultish mentality. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Right? You see it in other things. So, and I'm seeing it happening here. No matter what they do, people will find a way to, you know, twist it so that it's a positive in their mind. Even if it's something that's negatively happening to them.
Yeah. Like, I think before I would say like, oh, it's because they can't resonate with it. They can't relate to it because it's not impacting them, but it is impacting them.
Now it's impacting them, and you're seeing that even when it does impact them, they still support it.
It's a sickness of the mind.
For real. And it's going to continue to happen. And it's gonna probably try and highlight more of those stories. Maybe we'll have a whole section on like MAGA, FAFO.
Yeah.
FAFO.
Yeah.
But for now, this just, you know, the latest was happening there.
Exactly.
But before we end the podcast, I think, Sad, I wanted to...
Let's do some commentary.
Yes. First comment is from the person who actually gave us a heads up, from Mahmoud. Is that it? Yeah, it's just like M-M-O-H. Yeah, Mahmoud. So he said, came from Apple Podcast to say there's a Somali soccer tournament and it's actually happening right now. The finals are on Sunday at Centennial Park. And I think Mogadishu 2026 is a real trend too, not just AI, pending if it actually happens. So see, it might actually happen.
It might.
Yeah, so all Somalis out there, that's your heads up. Get your tickets now.
Okay, this one's from JojoD1109. The cat struggle is so real. I want a cat so bad, but want to be young and free at the same time. I feel that because honestly, as someone who used to have a cat when I was young and free, actually, I was young and broke, so I wasn't free. But I spent all my time taking care of these cats.
But, you know, it taught you how to be responsible and, you know, how to take care of something, nurture something.
I basically was a mother.
Yeah, so now you're ready for the future.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Because I remember when my cat first got pregnant and mm-hmm. I caught her in the act. I felt so disappointed.
You caught her in the act?
Yeah, remember that time we were looking for her and then it was like, were you there? I swear you had to have been at my house because we were looking with flashlights mm-hmm. and we just saw like eyes and then another pair of eyes and I was like, what is that? And then it was two cats and it was my cat with her boyfriend.
She was an HOE. I'm sorry.
No, she was a committed girlfriend to her boyfriend. No,
you think that. You think that. Okay.
Okay. Also, DSW is about to announce that they're changing their discount system after seeing this LOL. They already did during mm-hmm. that time. Then she continues to say, or they continue to say, you guys sometimes talk about your careers on here, and I know y'all don't want to dox yourselves, but mm-hmm. one episode could y'all talk a little about your general sphere of working / finding a halal job? College student here who didn't realize how many corporate jobs were haram / involved haram elements. Mm. Maybe that is like a whole other episode. I don't know if we could talk about like in general.
It starts early. Like you have to like, that's why I feel like also our parents kind of pushed us into either engineer, doctor, or what's the third one again? Engineer, doctor, or lawyer.
Engineer, doctor, lawyer.
Yeah, accountant. Lawyer. I guess so. Yeah, accountant. Mm. That's the third one. Mm. Because, yeah, for those ones, you kind of can avoid it a little bit more.
Only maybe what we'll do is we can actually talk about like finding a career mm-hmm. in a separate episode. But like the gist of it is find something that you are passionate about. Mm-hmm. And if you find a field that you're like, you know what, this is something that interests me, definitely look into it. And I would say like network, mm-hmm. whether it's through LinkedIn or social media in general. Find someone that's like in that field that you can ask them like the ins and outs. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit of a preview before you actually commit to that specific
field.
Yeah, field of work. Mm-hmm. In terms of like what we do, again, like I feel like we've talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And maybe what we'll actually do is just have a whole episode dedicated to like careers and like working as a Muslim in North America and all that. But like we... Noted.
Mm-hmm. I feel like nowadays it's a lot easier than it was like years ago.
In terms of the options?
Yeah, the options.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. So the last comment I replied to is from the two episodes ago. Mm. And that is from Khadija Abdi. She said, Sara, can I just say I can listen to you for hours? You are such a great storyteller. Masha Allah. Mabruk Amir and Hanan. Thank you.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, shout you out too.
I thought you were reading this one.
Which one?
This was from 3 hours ago.
Okay, you can put that one in too.
Eva Roche 11. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sara, for the comments about hijab. I really needed to hear this, and it's a good point, which I think is the reason why it's so disliked. Hijabi women do not commodify their bodies for the public mm-hmm. gaze. I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but it was from episode 171. Did your parents fail you?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We never went back. You know, we'll go back to those next week.
Yeah. We'll read that one because we got a lot of comments on that one.
Yeah. We definitely have to go back. But until then, because mm-hmm. we haven't been going on for a long time here, make sure to subscribe to the channel. Make sure to follow us on all our other platforms like Instagram and TikTok at Cousin Connection Pod. Hopefully, if you like this episode, like I said, subscribe, but also leave a comment.
Yeah.
Like the video. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.